eventually. All right. Okay, if you have your Bible, let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. It was a great blessing, I'll tell you. It was a tremendous blessing to be there. They had a family conference Thursday and Friday night and Saturday morning. And then, of course, the services on Sunday. And you said, why didn't you come back after that? Because I thought my wife needed some rest, and she won't get it if I don't get her out of town. So while we were out of town, I said, we're not coming back for a few days. And we did get some rest, and I appreciate that. Joshua chapter 1, all right? Joshua chapter 1, if you would, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. I will remind you, this is a very critical time in the history of the children of Israel. Very, very critical time. They had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. They had wasted 40 years wandering in the wilderness. The history of those 40 years was not a tale of victory. It was not a tale of faith. It was not a tale of that at all. As a matter of fact, it was almost exactly the opposite of that. It was still much unbelief, much murmuring, much complaining. Matter of fact, again and again, the children of Israel had complained. They had murmured. They had threatened to return to Egypt. And they had disappointed Moses. They had rebelled against God. And I'll be honest, I think they embarrassed themselves in what they did. But finally, I want you to notice there in verse 2, there's a little three-letter word that I want you to see. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, here's that three-letter word, now. Now. Finally, now had arrived. Finally. This was the time, some of them had waited for. This was the time that many had paid for with their lives, all right? But it was now. It was now. And I just want to preach to you a little bit tonight on now, Joshua, now. Now. Because I want you to realize, first of all, God determines the now. God determines the now. Now, can I say this to you? Now, in this case, could have happened 40 years earlier. It was ready. God was ready for now to have been 40 years before that. He had told them, here's the land, I've given it to you. All you have to do is go in and possess the land and go. And if you remember, they sent in spies to check out the land. They went in, they came back, and they said, boy, it was just like you said, is a land flowing with milk and honey, but that's where we get in trouble. Hey, that now could have been 4 years early, 40 years earlier. But after their unbelief, now was delayed. Now, I'm going to tell you, now was delayed according to the will of God. Had they tried to conquer the land after they had decided we can't, if they had went on and said, we've changed our mind, let's go in, I guarantee you defeat would have been the result. Because they had forfeited the now of that day. They had forfeited the now. God determines the now. Can I tell you this? God determines the now in our lives also. God determines the now. Now, here's our problem, though. We get in a hurry sometimes because of our own will. We don't want to wait for now to take place. We don't want to do it. I in thinking about Brother Whitaker and going there and looking at all those buildings, and there were many that, boy, they looked good. You know, they were all storefront type things, though. But that wasn't now for them. God gave it to them just a little over a year and a half ago when he said, now, right here, this Presbyterian church. This is it, all right? Hey, God determines the now in our lives. Now, don't get in a hurry because God doesn't get in a hurry. You said, preacher, wait a minute. I'm up in years. I'm on the sunset side of life, you know. We stayed with some folks there, the Browns, Brother and Mrs. Brown. Brother Brown said, man, God's led us here, And he went into it and he said, I'm saying this. He said, I know that I'm in the final quarter of my life. And he said, I want to go out doing something for God. You say, well, I'm old and that time. No, wait a minute. There's always a now. There's always, I believe, a now. And God determines the now in our lives because he knows when we're ready. He knows when we're capable. He knows that. There were times in my life that I thought, hey, I'm ready for this or I'm ready for that. But God said, no, you aren't. No, you aren't. You're going to wait. You're going to wait. We have to do it. Hey, it's of greatest importance that we don't try to rush ahead in indifference to the will of God, or worse yet, in defiance to the will of God, and we not decide, well, this is now for me. Wait on God. Wait on God. Notice it was God that said, now. Now, therefore, all right? It was God that said that. Hey, not only does God determine now, God designs the now. You see, God knows what's best for us. God knows what's best for you and I. He knows when the time is best. He knows when the time is best. Sometimes we get the idea, well, I can do it right now. Well, maybe not. If God's not saying now, then maybe not. I want you to pick up a songbook, because there's a song in your songbook, the song that says God leads his children along, all right? And I want you to look at that. You say, what page is it on? I don't know. Got to look it up, all right? God leads his children along. It's on page 73. There it is, page 73. I want you to look at the words of that. Now, they're not inspired scripture, don't misunderstand me, but they give us a truth, and I want you to see it. The Bible says in shady green pasture, the Bible said, the songwriter said it this way, in shady green pasture, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along, where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Look at verse 2, sometimes on the mount, where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Look at verse 3. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes, especially if God's leading his dear children along. Look at verse 4. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season. And all the day long. Hey, I tell you, I think that songwriter knew the Lord. I think he knew something of the truth of the Word of God. You see, God designs the now. He leads us along in this life. Now, our problem is too often we fight that leadership. And we don't want to wait on him. We want to do it at our time and our way. But wait a minute, we're to wait on him. Wait on him. Why? Because he designs the now, and I believe it's a personal design for each and every one of us. It's important for you and I to be ready when that now time comes for us, but it's also very important to wait until God says, now. Now. Hey, God. God determines now. God designs the now, but I'm going to tell you this, God demands now. God demands now. When God said there in verse 2, now arise and go over this Jordan, that means it was time to do it. It was time to do it. The subject wasn't up for debate. It wasn't now, all right, you children of Israel, get together and vote and see if y'all agree this time we're going. No, I hope they realize God said now we better go this time. Look what a price we paid for 40 years. When we didn't go when God said the first time, it's now. Hey, well, God had decided again that the time was now. He directed them to move now. Now, too many think God just gives us suggestions about what to do and when to do it. But that's wrong. I remind you, as this book says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. I'll be honest, I believe right now the invitation is open for people to get saved. I believe that with all my heart. That's why we witness. That's why we preach to people. That's why we're supporting missionaries. That's why we're trying to do everything we can to get the gospel out. And why we're trying, because now is the day of salvation. Now is. Now, I'll be honest with you. I believe days coming God's going to shut a lot of that door. I believe going to shut a lot of that door. And I believe the day's coming, if you've heard the gospel, you understand the plan of salvation, and you've not been saved, I believe when the Lord comes back, the Bible talks about in Thessalonians, God's going to send them strong delusion. They'll believe a lie. They'll believe a lie. Hey, and they'll not be saved. So now's the time of salvation. Can I tell you this? I believe right now is the time of surrender. God's invitation to His people right now is, won't you surrender to me? I want you to surrender your will to my will and do what I want you to do. Live the way I want you to do. Now, I know we say that kind of thing, and you say, well, preacher, I don't want to be a missionary. Maybe. Who said God wants you to be a missionary? Every Christian, I don't care if you're 15 or you're 50 or beyond, every Christian ought to be surrendered to serve the Lord. Our life ought to be, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Whatever you'd have, whatever door you open, I'll go through that door. Why? Now's the time of surrender. I believe now's the time of service. Now's the time of service. You do realize one of these days we're going to be in heaven? Now, what are you going to do for God then? What are you going to do for God then? The only thing you'll be able to do is praise His name and sing praises and glorify. But how can you serve Him there? Well, there's not anything you can do. Not going to be anything you can do. You say, I'm going around heaven witnessing to people that are already saved, or they wouldn't be there. Amen. Hey, I'm just telling you, now's the time to serve Him. Now's the time. Now's the time to win those crowns that are going to be given at the judgment seat. Now's the time. Hey, God, He designs it. He demands now. But I want you to look at Joshua, all right? Remember, I told you, preach to you now, Joshua, now. I want you to take a look at Joshua. And see, Joshua's a good example for us. Number one, I want you to see this, Joshua was available. Joshua was available. All the time Joshua had spent waiting. All this time, for years. Remember, Joshua was one of the two men that said, let's go. Let's go. The other 10 spies said, we'll never do it. They're giants, we're grasshoppers. They'll mow us down. We don't have a chance in the world. Joshua and Caleb said, let's get them. God said we can, let's go. But now he spent 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness, biding his time. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. You hear me? Those 40 years, Joshua had kept his testimony. Joshua had kept his testimony. You don't find any time. I don't believe there's any indication in those 40 years in the books of Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy where you find the people murmured and grumbled. I'm telling you this, I don't believe it was Joshua. Joshua kept his testimony. Joshua stayed faithful to the Lord, and he stayed faithful to serve while he waited to get into the land. 40 years. Now, I don't know how you feel about it. I believe, I know me, I'd have been aggravated. It'd have been hard for me not to go and say, you know what, you sorry rascal, that meant for you and your crowd. I could be over there in the land of Canaan now, enjoying the land of milk and honey, but I'm stuck here with you. You said, well, I wouldn't have done that. I probably would have. But Joshua didn't. Joshua kept himself available. Can I say this to you? Far too many people mess up their lives while they're waiting for God to say, now. They don't wait. They mess up their lives. Many others waste the time while they're waiting. They waste their time. I'll never forget, Dad always used to tell me when I was a kid growing up at home, we'd be talking about missionaries. He said, if God calls you to the mission field, he said, before the missionary goes to the field, he ought to be doing here what he's going to be doing there. He ought to be doing here what he's going to be doing there. Not saying, well, I will when I get there. No, right here, right now. I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be busy. That's what Joshua, like Joshua, we ought to keep ourselves available until our now time comes. Until it's now for us, all right? He was available. Second thing I want you to see about Joshua, Joshua was accepting. Joshua accepted what God had for him. I've already mentioned he accepted the period of waiting. He accepted it. He said, I'll just wait. Kept his testimony, did what he should have. He accepted that wait. He went through that time. He accepted the will of God. Hey, he accepted the promotion when the promotion came. When the promotion came, when God said, okay, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead, now it's you, you're leading. Now, I don't believe he accepted with, well, it's about time. No, I believe he had the right, I'm going to talk about it again in just a minute, he had the right attitude. He accepted that. God help us to accept what God allows us to go through. God help us to accept what God allows for us and what God brings to us. Whether it be easy or hard, rewarding or demanding, we just need to accept it. Lord, you're working in my life. I'm going to accept what you bring, what you send my way. I'm just going to accept it. If it's a waiting period, I'll wait. If it's a promotion, I'll accept the promotion. Now, remember, make sure we're talking about promotion in the Lord's work. Not just a promotion in business, okay? Not just a bigger salary. Make sure it's the Lord's will, but just be accepting of it. Thirdly, Joshua had attitude. Attitude. Now, usually when we say, boy, that person's got an attitude, we don't mean it complimentary, right? It comes with a very negative connotation. We often say it about children. Boy, that kid's got an attitude. And it's not a complimentary thing. But I'll tell you this, I'm not talking that way about Joshua. Boy, I want you to know this was a tough time for Joshua. Tough time. Now you think about it. Joshua was a servant of God. But the Bible tells us over and over, he was a servant of Moses. He was a servant of Moses. I believe with all my heart, Joshua really looked up to and admired the man, Moses. But Moses is now dead. It's a time of sorrow. Time of sorrow. The whole nation wept and sorrowed when he died. It was a time for sorrow. It was not an easy time for Joshua. But he had the right attitude about it, okay? It was a tough time for him. It's a tough time for the people of God. Moses was gone, but the steadying force that he had provided was no longer there. Well, you read through those Old Testament books, especially Exodus and Numbers, you find how many times Moses came to the rescue of the children of Israel. God's ready to kill them. And Moses said, now, Lord, wait a minute. I just want to remind you, all right? How's this going to look, all right? Moses stepped up, spoke up for him. Hey, you talk about a steadying force. It was wonderful, but now he's gone. But I believe the attitude that Joshua had was the right attitude. Joshua didn't have a gloating attitude that says, well, it's about time I got to take control. No, it was more, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, I'll do it. I'll take the position you've given me. You've opened the door. Listen, folks, Joshua was no longer a kid. Okay? He was no longer a young buck. He had some years on him. He had some years on, but he said, Lord, that's what you want, and I'll do it. I'll do it. Hey, I don't know when God's going to open the door for you. You say, Preacher, it's too late. No, it's not. You're still alive. You're still alive. Now, he may not have you to lead some nation across the Jordan River or even the Trinity, all right? But he's got a place for you, and a place of service. He wants you to serve him. Got something he wants you to do. That now time could come anywhere, all right? Joshua realized these are now not Moses' people, they're my people to lead. And I'm responsible. And he had an attitude that stepped up and said, I'll do it. Can I just say this? May it be so for us too. May it be so for us too. God, he takes care of the now. All right, he takes care of the now for us. It's our job to have the right acceptance, the right availability, and the right attitude to say, Lord, whatever you want, whenever you want it, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. Whatever it is, I'm ready. I'm willing. Are you that way? Are you that way? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the testimony and the example that you've given us in Joshua, the man who stood.